Welcome, my friends. Today we're going to talk about the elephant in the room with my buddy Ed. Ed, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thank you for asking me. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Always better to have you, Ed. So I'm glad that we're here today talking about challenges faced by minority project managers, including women. We're going to talk about this topic, Ed, and I'm curious to know what you have seen, because what I have seen with my ears close to the ground and people I mentor, train, and coach, I hear that historically, there's been this feeling of marginalization, people feeling they've been excluded from leadership. I've heard from a lot of female project managers who share with me that even though they've been employed in organizations, due to certain underlying currents of race, ethnicity, and gender, they feel kind of marginalized. They feel like there's a glass ceiling that prevents them from going any higher in the workplace, like an invisible barrier. And as a result of this, they feel they're in a cocoon, in a shell. They feel like they're not able to come out and lead the way they would. They have to work extra hard to be given any recognition at all. And it's something that's a recurring theme. So it has to be spoken about. And I would like to invite people who have experienced this to put a comment below for us, Ed, right? It's something we should talk about. It's not something we should skirt around, because I see it in a lot of industries. But why do you think this happens? And let's break apart the anatomy of what exactly is going on. Let's call it the struggle of the minority project manager.
Yeah, and you know what, Phil? I want to unpack that as far as when you look at it, there's something you have a decision. One thing I loved, I was recently listening to Myron Golding. He was talking about the difference between decision and choice. So you have a choice. There was an old story where there was a little kid that would walk past this dog, and the dog would bark and you know, just yell all the time. And finally, the kid asked the old man, "You know, sir, every time I walk past, I always hear this dog yelling and crying. And it's like, what's going on?" Like, and the old man said, "Listen, son, you know, this dog is laying on an old nail." And he said, "Every time he comes to sit on this porch, he lays on this old nail." He said, "I don't know why." He said, "I've tried to, you know, get him to get off of it, and he just wouldn't, you know." So I use that story as a lane, or let's call it the hover lane, that, you know, I'm with you, Phil. So we can ride in the hover lane, meaning that we get a access to a faster lane. And what I realize is you have a choice or a decision, and you better make a decision and say, you know what? Understand what's going on here. I'm not able to change it. I'm not able to have the impact that I need. What am I going to do? What is the next step for me? One of my favorite quotes, and I remixed it, and it goes like, well, you can either sit in the pain or you can sit in the progress, but remember, you can't sit in both. So you have to make a decision. And once you understand what is going on, now the decision is to say, okay, they're not going to watch this, Phil. They're only tolerating me over here. Let me go somewhere where they're going to celebrate me. So it's better to go look where you're going to be celebrated. And you say, well, Phil and Ed, how do I know where I'm going to be celebrated? Well, then you have to go in and have that experience. You have to understand, it's sort of like anything in life, what you're looking for. If I was looking for a place of residence to go, I would say, well, these are the things I'm looking for. Maybe if I was looking to purchase a home, maybe I want a two-story home with three bedrooms or four bedrooms. And that's what you have to do when you walk into a job situation, that your career situation that you're looking into. And if it doesn't offer that, what was the point of you putting in that work that you've done, whether you got your PMP, your CAPM, your degrees? What was the point of all that for? The reason why you did that, and watch how, Phil, I already see him smiling, I'm going to hand it over to him. It created options for you. Your turn.
I love it. I love it, Ed. And I like the direction where you're taking it, because, you know, it will be easy for us to focus on the regular suspects, right? The historical inequalities, the stereotypes and the biases, lack of representation, you know, and just the whole unconscious bias. A lot of folks who do this they don't even know they're doing it. Sometimes you have minorities doing it to other minorities. So let's keep the record 100, you know, let's not just say it's all against. No, sometimes it's minorities doing this against other minorities. Other little microaggressions that you might feel, just things that have escalated into you feeling I'm no good. So because you feel these microaggressions and marginalization, there tends to be an imposter syndrome. I'm not good. But I like where you took it, Ed, because now you're making us focus on the more important issues, which are not with the people who might be exhibiting those biases towards minorities, but it really comes down to the minorities. So what are you going to do? Let's not play the victim card. Let's now take the law into our hands and help ourselves, right? Let's not stay in a position where you're marginalized or you're not appreciated. So I like what you said. Number one, confidence building. As we've worked for our PMPs, we've worked to be great project managers. Why not wear the mantle of greatness by really having that confidence in yourself? So again, it goes back to the individual. Are you confident about your abilities? Did you really study as you were going through the hard knocks of PMP, or did you get it on a platter? Because if you did, you should be confident, right? You should have skills that you are able to market. And I want to put it back on folks watching who are like, oh yeah, that sounds like me. What am I going to do? Well, you should be looking for mentorship and coaching to elevate your game. Every great leader, they understand the power of mentoring and coaching. So elevate your game through mentoring and coaching. I'd also say networking. You know, what's that saying, Ed? You're the sum total of the five people around you, or you're the five divided by one. And you know, if you have people that are downtrodden in their thinking and are paralyzed in their thinking, then that's who you're going to be. But if you see yourself in a network of individuals who think great, you know, then your game will be elevated. And advocate for yourself. Don't hesitate to speak up about your accomplishments. You know, if you don't toot your horn, ain't nobody going to toot it for you. And I realized this coming to America, because I remember the very first interview I went for the second interview, actually, because the first one was a disaster. The second one, the guy who interviewed me said, you're rather, you know, quiet. You're rather passive. You're not really outspoken. Our customer will chew you out. And it took me getting to understand how the culture in America works. It's very different from in the UK. Here, you have to advocate for yourself. So you got to speak up for yourself. You got to speak up for what you can do. And you got to make your contributions visible to your colleagues, to your supervisors, to your higher ups. They got to see what you're doing, right? And then address biases. Don't just feel, oh, I got to shut up. You know, someone's been mean and aggressive, very aggressive, passive aggressive towards you. And you just feel like, oh, I'm just going to cuckoo it into a little shell, like, you know, an infant. Don't do that. Challenge. And I'm not saying be obnoxious or braggadocious. That's not what I'm saying. But you can't always be the tiny little mouse in the corner getting all the abuse rained on you. If you're not being treated fairly, you've got options, right? So when you're comfortable with it, I would highly recommend addressing whatever microaggressions directly. I would also recommend talking to your HR. That's what HR is there for. So don't just feel I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, I'm just going to stay here until, you know, I find something else. No, try your best to address these things. You know, what do you think, Ed?
Yeah, and that's, you know, as I was listening to you, Phil, I agree. You know, reason why I moved away from the elephant in the room is because the elephant is already in the room. Everyone that looks like you and I already knows this. And when I say knows this, meaning we feel this pain, but I love what the Eagle said, Joe Eagle, he said, what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? We know this. So if we started really focusing on the options that are out there for us, and some people may have to go into business for their own self and create their own project management firm and take it that way. And it may be a slow progress, but It's options. And what's the whole point of going through a project management leadership institute and not doing more with your life and becoming 1% better? Mm. So yes, Phil, I could have focused on things that I've experienced in my career, and it probably would have made this video go viral. Seriously, we would have shut down the internet. However, we're here to help people, and the only way to help people is to give them options. When you give someone options, that's the whole reason why I said you went to school to, if you went and got a degree, you, why did you go? To create options. Why did you go after a CAPM or a PMP? To create options for yourself. So now the challenge is how do we break those limited beliefs? Because the limited beliefs back in the day was you stay with an organization 10 to 20 years and you get, you know, the golden plaque and the keys. But if you are experiencing what Phil and I are discussing here as far as discrimination or some type of intimidation because of who you are as an individual, because of the color of your skin, then you have options. Make the decision to say, you know what, I'm not going to settle for this anymore. Because we all know when something settles, it settles to the bottom. That's when Phil talked about people curl up and afraid and you know, intimidated. I mean, anyone that's timid, they're always going to be walked over or walked through because people feel like they're going to be able to take advantage of them. That's why when you walk into someone's house, they have a, before you walk in, most of the time they'll have a rug outside to say, wipe your feet off. But you don't want to be that rug. You want to be better. You want to be the house that they're walking into. You miss that. What I'm saying to you is that this is happening. This is most evident. Yes, we know it's out there, but we have to make sure that we take the appropriate actions in doing things that's outside of the box. We never talk about sales in project management. We never talk about mindset. You know, that's one of the things that for me, I'm really big on is really, you know, going deeper into the mindset, because I believe if you have the mindset, you can do anything, because at that point it doesn't matter what anyone else says, because you've already made it up in your mind, just like you made it up in your mind when someone told you you're not smart enough to go and get you a college degree. Oh, you failed that test too many times. Why would you want to go back and take the PMP? Do you know how many people passed the PMP? But you went past all of that and you got your PMP. I'll turn it over to you, Phil.
I love it, Ed. I love it. And I love the direction you took the conversation, because there are a lot of things people forget. So one, professional development. Ed, you've got a whole lot of certifications. I got a whole lot of certifications. And the reason why we get these is not just for show, but it's really to elevate our game. And if people aren't doing that, we want to encourage you. Don't just stop at PMP. Don't just stop at CAPM. Up the ante, right? Invest in your professional development. Attend workshops, conferences, training sessions to expand your knowledge and skills. And embrace leadership opportunities. A lot of people are like, oh, I feel like I can't do this. And you're shying away from leadership opportunities. You need to step up your game. Embrace these opportunities. If the boss asks people, who wants to do this hard project? Your hand should shoot up, because that's you seizing the opportunity to be a walking billboard of excellence. So why wouldn't you choose the hard stuff, the tough stuff? It's going to toughen you up and it's going to elevate you when you make it happen, except you don't believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you know that you're going to do everything possible. Like in the words of Will Smith, I know he's not the most popular person right now. Well, maybe people have forgiven him. One of the things he said, he's going to stay on that treadmill, that it's either he dies on that treadmill or you give up, one of them, but he's not getting off that treadmill. I want to encourage you to, in the same token, stay on that treadmill. Just do, right? Another thing that we forget to do is to build allies. You know, my mentor, John Maxwell, he talks about the real formula. How to be a success is all about relationships first, equipping others, having a positive mental attitude, and being a great leader. But the aspect of relationships, when it comes to allies, I feel that there's a lot of opportunity there for some of our friends. Women, minorities, you got to rally together to support each other. You got to rally together to support the greater good of each other. So find your allies. I also want to recommend for those, my friends, who don't spend enough time thinking about self-care, because a lot of them usually have so many dependents or people that they're caring about without caring for themselves. You cannot be at your best if you're not caring for yourself. So think about the mental health, the physical aspect, you know, not to make it a fitness preaching session, but you know what I mean? If the body is not sound, then the mind, you know, is going to be off. And if the mind is not sound, the body is going to be off. So they are both important. You cannot say, yeah, my mental health is good, but then in terms of your physical health, you're not paying attention to it. So these are little things that help you be at your peak. Like for me, when I'm training and coaching and I'm on the road, I'm grateful for the gym because it elevates my physical state, which helps my mental state. Mm-hmm. And my mental state in turn catalyzes my physical state to go do something about how I'm feeling. So all of this stuff is interconnected, my friends. You got to do your professional bit. You got to create allies. You got to think about mental health. You got to stay informed. Like some people are clueless. They've got no idea that AI is taking over the world of project management. And guess what? When AI finally hits, they're going to be people like, what happened? They're going to be looking around. Don't be like that, right? Stay informed. Be a researcher. And then set clear boundaries as far as your workload is concerned to prevent burnout. Some people grind in a way, they're like little chipmunks. And at the end of the day, there's nothing to show for it. Like Ed was saying, you got to build your own brand and your own business. Some of you are just working for the man, working, not doing anything for yourself. Is that how you want to leave this planet without a legacy, without anything? Oh, he worked for one of the biggest corporations. And then what happened? He died. He died. And that's all. No legacy for the fam. Nothing. Come on now. So I want to encourage you. I know from some of the cultures, you know, the minority cultures, they're really big on hard work. But don't just do hard work. Work smart. Think about building your own brand. You know, and some other cultures that I'm associated with, they're always thinking about a house, you know, belongings. But no, change your mindset. Think about things that will transcend your being here. I'm not talking about a house. House are good, right? Material things can only go so far, but a legacy, a brand, you know, a thought, if that's your inclination, I want to encourage you to pursue it. I also want to encourage you to advocate for inclusion, right? Speak up for others. You may not be feeling what others are feeling, but speak up for others, right? This is the work that my sister by blood actually does by encouraging people in that field of diversity and inclusion. Because a lot of people, they're just clueless. They're like, oh, I didn't know my actions were discriminatory. Yes, they are. So educate people, help them see. Not everyone who does this does it mindfully. Some are just, it's an unconscious bias, you know? So educate yourself, educate others, and it's a daily thing. It doesn't happen in a day. Ed, this stuff isn't ever going to like magically disappear across the entire face of the earth, is it, Ed?
No, it isn't. And that's the thing. You know, one of the things, Phil, I love about what you do at PLI is that you teach real world. What does that even mean? Meaning that things that are actually happening in real time, meaning that at the job or any transitions that you're trying to make, but also on top of that, the importance of reading where you're at and where you're going. So for instance, Phil talked about challenging, you know, pushing back and things, but let's have a strategy. Let's go read mm-hmm. the 48 Laws of Power. Let's go read 33 Strategies of War by Robert Greene. Why am I telling you to read these books? Because this is the type of content that will allow you to think more strategically and allow you to think less emotionally and more logically. Because sometimes, let's be honest, you know, we family here. Some things that do happen to us, I'm not saying everything, because there's a lot that does happen that we just like, yeah, that was messed up. But some things that do happen to us, we may have allowed our emotions to get in the way. And when our emotions get in the way, they start directing us in all different directions that it took us away from the original thing. I don't know how many times I've gotten into an argument and I was like, what was we arguing about? Because I can't even remember. But what I'm also saying too is to have that strategic approach, be logical. Okay, this is happening or this has happened. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to go to HR? Am I going to go talk to my supervisor? What are the steps I'm going to do? But see, that also the important thing is getting around individuals. And again, I keep plugging the Project Leadership Institute because it's a great safe environment for you to come to have that dialogue to say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think based on and there's probably 40 to 50, 60 years worth of experience in that room that you can get feedback on and say, hey, you know what? I know what you're saying, but again, you asked for my recommendation. This is what I would recommend. And then at the end of the day, it's sort of like taking the CAPM, PMP, or whatever. You got four choices, cross out ones that doesn't make sense, and then which one that you're gonna go with that. But it's all about making sure that you can get in a like-minded room. And when I say like-minded, I don't mean that Phil and I are definitely different when it comes to certain things. And I learn from him, he can learn from me, but most of all, I'm learning a lot from him. But the whole point is that you want to get around someone that stretches you, that grows you. Just don't get in a room just because they look like you. Get in a room because they push you. And I'm all about because they look, but make sure that they bring some type of value to the table. Just don't have them show up and they got their to-go place. Ooh, I like that. See, a lot of people want to show up with their to-go plates and they never want to show up with the actual food. So, you know what, even though I didn't bring no food, I want to help you wash the dishes.
Yeah.
I'm only speaking from experience because this has actually happened to me. So I'm only saying that in a real life aspect of things, or just to say, you know, family, look, things are going to happen, but how you choose to deal with them is going to be up to you. Are you going to be intimidated? Mm. Are you going to take action? Are you just going to let it pass you by and just say, oh, forget about it? And then over time, what you don't want to happen, you know what I would love to do, Phil? I would love one day that we take a camera, and we may do this. I may be able to talk Phil into it one day when he gets some time, because he's putting out some amazing content and books. But what I'm saying is that go to the retirement home and just we can line up 10 conversations and say, you know what? The first question is, I want to know is, what do you regret what do you regret doing? Or a better question is, if you could look back when you was my age, let's say the age is 40 or 35 or 50 or whatever that number is, what would you have done differently? And I promise you, it'll be the same answers that I wish I would have trusted myself and believed in what I was, my gut, my instincts was telling me, and that I would have taken a risk, but a calculated risk, and not just a risk that doesn't make sense. So I leave you with that. Your turn, Phil.
I love it, Ed. And just to round up, I really appreciate these nuggets. I like the analogy of everyone showing up with a to-go plate. Ain't nobody bring no food. Yeah. So what's going to happen? I just love that. And it's true. And we need to be around people that are going to also bring food like we are bringing food. And in that way, everyone gets fed and everyone grows. But talking about growth, as my mentor, John Maxwell, says, needs to be planned. It doesn't happen by dumb luck. So number one, you want to have goals. Have a goal. What are you looking to achieve? What are you looking to achieve? And then put it in a time box. Give it a quarter or half a year or a year, or maybe give it a few days. What can you do to elevate your current state, whatever that might look like? Because I keep hearing from a lot of people, I feel the imposter syndrome. I feel marginalized. I am being discriminated against in my job. So you set goals that will help elevate your state. Secondly, begin to build a supportive network. I want to encourage you. My buddy Ed right here, he has got a channel on YouTube. I want you to go there and I want you to begin listening to his work. We're going to endeavor to put a link below, but I want you to go to that channel and I want you to begin listening to him, because what he has out there will help you elevate your game. Whether you're a junior project manager or whether you've been in the game for a long time, you need to be on the Conscious Agility channel. So I'm not just telling you to do stuff. I'm giving you a channel that can help support you, okay? So I want you to do that. I want you to also build a supportive network. Ed offers coaching. He offers mentoring. He offers advice. If you're looking for someone to help elevate your game, please tap into his resource. He will help you. He'll challenge you. Number three, develop leadership skills. As Ed is always talking about leadership, leadership develops daily, not in a day. And leadership doesn't happen by magic. You got to work it. What is leadership? It's all about influence. Influence yourself first. Begin to motivate and inspire and encourage yourself. And only then can you show others how to do it. So I want you to invest in leadership skills by training, by workshops, by self-study. Let me give you one book. If there's one book that I'm going to recommend to you for leadership, it is called The 360 Degree Leader by John Maxwell. I want you to go find that book. I want you to read it. I want you to use that book to add tremendous value to yourself. Number four, I want you to be an advocate for inclusion. If you find people being marginalized, being downtrodden, you find people marginalizing women in industry, I need you to say something about it. And finally, I want you to keep stock of your achievements. I want you to look at what you've accomplished over time. It could be your projects, it could be your contributions, and it will serve as evidence of your skills and impact. And it will help you elevate your game to begin thinking about what you have done and what you actually can do. And before we go, I want to give advice to women in particular. You got to negotiate effectively. I had a student, now graduate, who went for an interview. I was thinking of playing, you know, around the low six-figure realm, around 80s, 90s, 100. But it so happened that the cat was let out of the bag, and they were offering this individual hundreds. I didn't say 100. I'm talking about multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, if that individual had gone in and had played small and had negotiated ineffectively by shortchanging herself, she wouldn't have got that job. So you got to understand that you are worth probably more than you think. Whatever you think you're worth, do a fact check. If you're honest, do a fact check and go to PMI's Pulse of the Profession reports, the salary surveys, and get an analysis of how much do I know, how much am I looking to be paid? I guarantee you, in a lot of instances, you might just be shortchanging yourself. Secondly, seek leadership roles. Don't keep looking for the tiny little dwarf, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarf kind of roles. No, there are better roles for you. A lot of you are so dwarfed in how you see yourself, which is sad. Don't do that. Look for leadership roles. You might be amazed at what is out there for you. Seek mentorship, seek sponsorship. Like I said, find people like Ed that can help you, that can spend time with you, mentor, train, and coach you to excellence. Continuously learn. And last but not least, I want to give you one final piece of advice. Don't just work. Lots of you making money. You ain't spending the money on yourself. Some people I say, what did you do for yourself since you got certified? And they're like, day in the headlights. Seriously? No, you're making some money. Spend some of it on yourself, right? Spend some of it on enjoying life with your loved ones, or even just you, right? What have you done for yourself lately? Begins with self-love. Ed, I'll let you round up.
Well, you know, it's funny. This would be a good tagline. And you remember, Janet Jackson had this song where she says, what have you done for me lately? So the question you need to turn back on you, family, is to ask yourself, what have you done for you lately? And I'm really speaking to the people that are selfish. Like Phil is one of those people that's, you got to talk Phil into giving him something, because he just was like, no, I don't need, I'm just here to serve. And so, sometimes, you know, and it goes back to that Cat Williams old joke about you have to take care of your star player, and being able to take care of your star player, just imagine going back to some of what Phil talked about, where the mental health and the physical health by doing something physically and doing something mentally to help grow and challenge you is going to help you to be able to give back and help other people. And now let's get some, Phil, you really said something that was strong, and I was doing everything I could. I'm moving and I'm twitching a little bit, so I apologize for that, but I wanted you to finish. But you made a really good point. We have to stop running from the leadership opportunities, because the only way we're going to be able to change the dynamics of some of the cultures that do currently exist is to get into those positions, to get into those roles. And being able to get into those roles will allow us to open up the doors to see, because I don't care. Diversity for me, I will take that any day over just a one set formula mindset, you know, because it just doesn't do it. Diversity, having all these different thoughts and views, really helps grow and enrich an organization. So I'm so sorry for those organizations that don't have that. Mm. But for those that do, I salute you. I thank you for seeing the value in having diversity. And for women, you know, when it comes to negotiation, I'm sorry, I repeated myself twice. I did that on purpose. There's an excellent book by, I think it's Chris Voss, called Never Split the Difference.
Yeah.
Never Split the Difference. Please go get that on audio. Please get that on your Kindle, or, you know, turn your vehicle. If you're commuting to work, as Zig Ziglar talked about, turn your vehicle into a library, turn it into a learning library where you're learning different things of where you're at in your career. Again, that was a previous statement. So make sure that you want to do that, because what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for success. And you don't know the door that you're opening, the people that's going to be coming behind you. You don't know the people that are going to be standing on your shoulder. So Phil is counting on you. I'm counting on you. I just ask that you don't do no more or no less than you're willing to give. Maybe you missed that. Let me slow that down. What I'm meaning is that you have to be willing to go through, and as Eric talks about, go get something for that pain. You went through the pain. Now let's go get something for it. You felt neglected. Now let's go get something for it. So I'll leave you with that.
I love it. Thank you very much, Ed. And take a look below, because you're going to find a link to Ed's channel and other content that can help you. Thank you very much. Great spending time with you, Ed, and lovely friends out there.
Thank you, Phil. Beautiful time with you as well.
Cheers.